Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Bar Retreat and Spa, Bon for Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Da Vinci Printing Innovators, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, Kelly's Home Center, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the National Insurance Board, Popeyes, and Ron's Electric Motors.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
In our collective ability to solve our hardest challenges, as Bahamians, we have the talent,
to be with you here tonight. I'm very pleased to see so many friends here, including some who first welcomed me here when I was a young lawyer. I'm counting on them. I'm counting you all being very polite tonight, not to point out how long that was. And those were, as I call, very happy and productive times in those years. Living and working here gave me a strong and enduring connection to this island and to her people, and a real understanding of why Grand Bahamians insist, no matter the disappointments and heartbreaks which have accumulated over the years, that Grand Bahama is unique and that your best days still lie ahead. I understand and I agree. That's why I am here tonight. I know there's a lot of interest in recent developments. I'm grateful for this opportunity to share with you how we arrived at this moment, how we view the stakes of the current situation, and how the participation of licensees and community stakeholders will be crucial in building the best path forward. I will not review in great detail the history of Freeport and the Grand Bahama Port Authority, both because that history is well known to many of you and because I know you are here to focus on the future, not the past. But if you'll permit me a brief look backwards, I do believe history has something to teach us, because even in the earliest years of Freeport's history, following the 1955 signing of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, both the promise and the peril of that arrangement were apparent. After all, the agreement was forged between a colonial government and an American businessman. The government did not have the resources to develop Grand Bahama into a full-fledged economy, and so offered extraordinary concessions to those who did, ceding significant sovereignty to foreigners, looking to turn prophets. People like us and people in this room were neither present nor meaningfully represented in the rooms where this agreement was negotiated. Yet, there can be no question that the arrangement allowed Freeport to develop quickly in ways that would otherwise been impossible. The long-term tax concessions and development rights gave major players the confidence to build a deep water harbor and the infrastructure necessary for turning a sparsely populated island into a significant economic center, one that soon boomed with activity and industry. Not every initiative in those years succeeded, but many did. And where there had once been only pine barrens, there were roads and factories and opportunities. That's what a public-private partnership can deliver. But the perils of ceding authority to investors with no particular commitment to our people or country, those were also present nearly from the start. The oil terminal and refinery, the huge cement plant, those churned out huge profits for their private owners and operators while polluting our air and water. The 1955 agreement specified that the Port Authority was responsible for the education of Bahamians living within Freeport's boundaries. Perhaps not coincidentally, the vast majority of workers found themselves, Bahamian workers, found themselves living outside of those boundaries. 99% of real estate sales in Freeport during those early years were to non-Bahamians. And 15 years in, only 155 of the 1,400 licenses were held by Bahamians. In 1965 supplement to the original agreement granted the Port Authority an additional 150,000 acres for development on top of the original 50,000 acres, but required that they build 1,000 units of low and middle income housing within the concession area. A Royal Commission of Inquiry report published several years later found that the port had not lived up to this obligation, nor the obligation to invest in local farming projects. In July 1969, Prime Minister Lyndon Pindley spoke at the official opening of BOCO, the Bahamas Oil Refinery Company. The speech he gave that day has long been considered consequential. His stirring language asserting authority over immigration and work permits in Freeport was viewed by many as a critical reason the city never again grew at the same pace. He did not mince his words, saying, "In this city where, regrettably, almost anything goes, where, promisingly, some economic opportunities have come to Bahamians, Bahamians are nevertheless still the victims of an unbending social order, which, if it now refuses to bend, must now be broken."
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It's a beautiful day. It's Wednesday out here, roundtable discussion, and we're going to discuss a little bit more. We're going to get into some stuff today. As you see that I open up with the conversation to the Chamber of Commerce in Grand Bahama and being able to have the Grand Bahama Chamber of Commerce, the Prime Minister in his particular capacity, in all of his glory, can I say this? In all of his glory, being able to descend upon this kind of a space and speak with the authority of, I don't even know. It was strong. It was phenomenal in terms of the delivering. I picked up a couple hints of a shaking simply because of the culture that exists, but he pushed through. And I thought it was absolutely amazing. It's one of the best speeches I've ever heard him give on this soil, right? And so I must commend the Prime Minister for being able to take on this kind of a position. He was able to lay out everything for us, past, present, future. He opened with nostalgia. He spoke to the strategic relationships that he had. He spoke to his youth and the vibrance that existed in Freeport at the time. He's hoping to be able to lean on these relationships. I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. He actually went through, acknowledged a few things, spoke to the history. He was very transparent. He wanted to focus on the future, but wanted to give you a hint of the past. And then he got into the conversation. He spoke to pollution, which I thought was peculiar. The pollution of the waterways. I thought it was peculiar that he would say this. I thought it was peculiar because if we stretch this out into the space that we're living in now, even the allegations, speculations, conversations about the fact that a lot of persons would have had to move out of Pindus Point area as a result of this same opening in 1969, who've been riddled with cancer, been riddled with, these are the allegations, speculation. These are things that's happening in the community. So it's peculiar that the Prime Minister touched on this. I didn't go into anything else. He spoke about those in West Grand Bahama who was disenfranchised and how segregation existed at this particular time. And then went as far as to say, as a result of this particular speech, that Grand Bahama did not grow at the pace it was growing. That's peculiar. That is extremely peculiar. Let me tell you why. The Hawkesbury Creek Agreement was signed and penned 1955 from an official standpoint. 55 and 10 is 65. And 4 is 69. 14 years of exponential growth in Grand Bahama in terms of being able to dig out the trenches, to identify what it needs to put the roadways in place, and being able to put the infrastructure in place for the city that they envision. And so you're telling me after that 14th year, after that mark, after that kind of a posture and position, that the city decided to fold within itself and we did not find the support that we had in the first 14 years? Simply because of a leader with conviction to be able to stand and say what is right for the Bahamian people, I find it extremely peculiar. I want to talk about this today. I will have a transparent conversation, not the conversation that you think we're going to have as it relates to segregation, not the conversation that has to do with them and us, but productivity and identifying neutrality. The Prime Minister, if you listen to that speech, go into the Office of the Prime Minister on Facebook, Office of the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You can be able to see that. Click on that. It's only about 20-some minutes long. You can be able to read that. I watched the entire thing. I think I watched it about twice last night. In absolute awe that this Prime Minister came to win. Guys, I'm going to open up the lines. I want you to be able to join me and do so with decency and order. 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. I see your telephone calls. Let me take this quick commercial break. First commercial break. Be right back after this.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
Elaine, you hear what Boss Man was saying in the back there just now?
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No, about how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying, palm out. Ain't be much. Boss still got to pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that terminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. Oh. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we got to do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
Mothers are the heart of our homes, the soul of our memories, and the guiding light through life's journeys. Show your love with a gift from Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, Friday, May 3rd through Saturday, May 11th. Enjoy 20% off selected dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. One lucky person can win a gift basket for Mother's Day. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, May 3rd through 11th. Happy Mother's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company. Got to shout out all the persons who are good and decent and continue to be able to support our show. We are grateful to you, grateful for all that you've done. We are going down to Baja Retreat. Guys, get yourselves your gift certificates now in preparation for Mother's Day on Sunday. My wife has already asked me, what are you getting for me? I said, you're not my mother. I may be your daddy, but not... is different. Sorry, guys, make sure you go down there and get yourself your certificates and do all the things that you have to do and enjoy yourselves. Make sure that you take care of your mother, make sure you take care of your loved one, make sure you take care of your wife, the mother of your children, so forth and so on. Make sure you take care of your baby mother, whatever you have to do to ensure that that kink in their back, that neck, that kind of a knot that continues to roll up every time she sees your face. Let's see if you could be able to get that taken care of. Go down there and take good care of them at Baja Retreat Spa. They got everything available for you. You know exactly where they are. They are on East Bay Street, right across the street from Scotiabank. I'm going to be there. Check them out. I'm going to be there all day tomorrow, for the entire show tomorrow. So if you want to come down and enjoy yourself with us, please do so. We're going to have a great time down there. Shout out to AFS, Insurance Agents and Brokers. Please give them a call, 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. They can assist you with all manner of insurance for your SDs. They got it in-house. So check that thing out. Guys, it's a beautiful day. I started off the way that I did, right? And like I said, you got to make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. Never fruitful to have the media in your business. This is what the Prime Minister Davis says in Grand Bahama on Monday night. It is never, never fruitful or constructive to have the media engage in your business. And he answered questions put to him after a speech that he gave in Grand Bahama Chamber of Commerce and Freeport. After his speech, he focused primarily on Grand Bahama Port Authority and what he termed its neglect of the city of Freeport. Davis was asked whether or not he thinks that the media conversations between the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the government are encouraging or discouraging investors who may be interested in investing in Grand Bahama. Now, to this particular part, I thought it was strong what he said. He said, they didn't even raise an eyebrow. Investors didn't even raise an eyebrow. Those that are investing in the city, those who seek to invest in the city, they have a very clear understanding that you must pay your debts. That's it. And so the Prime Minister was extremely frank on this. And it's a peculiar thing when you have essentially, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Can I say this? The PLP in this particular instance, this New Day administration, as it relates to Grand Bahama, and we saw it in West Grand Bahama with the by-election. This administration for Grand Bahama specifically has absolutely nothing to lose, but everything to gain. Whether that be from a political standpoint, as it relates to being able to acquire those particular seats that are for the Free National Movement, one. Whether that be from an economic standpoint, to be able to pick up the proverbial slack to ensure that we can be able to get productivity, and almost like a swift kick in the pants for the Grand Bahama Port Authority, based upon what the Prime Minister has indicated. He said that, I've had information, we've got international companies, Pricewaterhouse, provide us an invoice, detailed, as to exactly why you've owed us $357 million over the past 5 years. And so after we presented this to the Grand Bahama Port Authority, they presented absolutely nothing and said that they're not going to pay. Well, that sunset, that period, that amnesty period, that 30-day period that they gave them, has found itself in sunset. So the Prime Minister has indicated that those persons responsible from the government dealings on this part, administrative aspects, and the Port Authority are dealing. But I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to talk about how we have skirted for more than almost a century now, almost a century, not an entire century. We have skirted around the issue of being able to talk about this bend or break speech. In Grand Bahama, in the news, in the public, there's always this sort of an idea that this is going to kind of scare off investors, so forth and so on. And I'm indifferent with this. I'm indifferent with it. I've watched the Prime Minister as a traditionalist. Now, he wouldn't indicate this. He indicated his youth at the top of the conversation. But he's cut from this cloth of being able to identify and genuflect. But he's fighting this off. I've watched it. It feels like it's against his nature to be able to stand and speak on this matter. But he's seeking to fight this off. And still, if you watch this thing, you could see that his voice cracked 3 times and he shook it off, took a deep breath, and pushed through. I said, but this is a strong thing that the Prime Minister is doing. It goes against the norm of the traditional rhythm of politics and the political discourse between the private and the public sector. It goes against that. For the most part, governments have relentlessly genuflected to whatever, you know, the external entities give. If you're presenting yourself as well endowed financially and otherwise, the governments continue to genuflect and provide you all manner of things. The Prime Minister in his speech indicated this. That we've taken care of whatever we needed to do. We've given you concessions after concessions. We've done all these things. We've helped. We've done these things. People are paying their taxes and their bills to you and their fees to you, and we're getting nothing. This is a very, very strong conversation. Lines are open, guys. Telephone caller on the line. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Howard.
Hey, what's up, Graham?
How you doing?
All is well?
Well, you know, I don't usually call, but when I do, you know, I was excited today. You said it wouldn't be the usual rhetoric on bend or break.
Mm-hmm.
I usually put some humor to it, even though it's not humorous. Mm-hmm. I say it didn't bend, it broke. So mm-hmm. maybe we achieved what we wanted. But in a serious note, if I were to go over there to negotiate like a boss, not a soup kitchen owner, it would sell out. Let's pretend that the audit is correct and they owe us $350 million. How much was the port, I believe, going to be sold for? It was up for sale a few years back.
Now, I hadn't heard any official. Now, let's be decent, Graham.
Yes.
From
yes.
an official standpoint, I don't know yes. whether any of us heard any money, but I know it was billions.
Yeah, alleged it was up for
from grabs. Based upon what we had and the allegations yes. and the speculations,
yes.
it was about
we don't know for sure.
It was about $3 billion.
Okay. So if it were me, I would go over there and say, look, you owe me $350, $400 million. I want to take that money and I want to buy in for the citizens that live there. See, we need to renegotiate the deal if it's not being upheld. And I'm not going to go into all my thoughts and ideas, but as a shareholder, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people living there, not the government, I'd like to keep it the way it is, a private entity between the port and the people of Grand Bahama. Let them benefit directly. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they want the government to be out of it, but you don't put the people out of it.
Mm-hmm.
See, go back to 1950 when that was negotiated. It was a fishing village, right?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody came and said, what is it, Texas and Canada? I don't know. And they said they're going to build a modern city. Those people had central air in their house before people in Florida had it, almost. And a large portion of the Bahamas, tens of thousands, went there and got employment. It's the same model today, and I reject it for you. I told you this before.
Yes.
You do not sell my assets for a job for me. You sell the assets for ownership for me. I love the model. I love the concept, but I didn't like the model on how it was done. I think if it was 50% for the foreign investor, and because it was the land of the Bahamian people, 50% should have gone to every citizen in a share who had a home or was living there.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would sit down with, is it Hayward? I don't know. I told you when you were there. I'd love to talk to them. And let's renegotiate where both people benefit. The citizens, and the citizens are the government, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, we just put some people there in a nice blue plate and a fancy suit to represent us. So it's not for them to take the money. It's for them to negotiate that the money come to me, the citizen of Grand Bahama. And C. Allen had a lot of input to this over the years that that agreement affects everybody in the entire country. And I'm going into detail. So I'm saying, why don't we sit down calmly instead of saying, you owe me this money and they're not going to pay it? Okay. How do we negotiate this deal a little differently? And I'm sure that, is it the Haywards? They're reasonable if we sit down and we negotiate something for the citizens there. And that place could look like Qatar, anywhere in the Middle East that's doing well, Malaysia, Singapore. In 15 to 20 years, those people have built cities that look better than Miami or New York. What did we do in our country? We let a city rot. That's how rich we are, you know. Every single Bahamian, based on GDP per capita, is in the top 1% of the world, making over $30,000 a year. That's crazy stuff from the IMF and the World Bank. I got the stats to back up what I tell you. So if we are this rich, we've gone 50 years and didn't fix or build on, expand that city to look like New York. We didn't build any other city in any other islands. We didn't build hospitals, fire stations, airports. We failed. I have to say, we failed.
Wow.
Now that we know that we failed, how do we fix this?
Wow.
And we've had both parties, and we've had all kind of financial experts, economists, and all that garbage. I mean, if I'm saying something wrong, Howard, you wanted to have the dialogue on the truth today.
No, I wanted to talk
to Freeport looks like a... You know what, Howard?
Yeah.
Every single Bahamian should be afforded a trip to Grand Bahama and Freeport to see what a modern city looks like in the 1960s. Because they would come back home and they would have a different outlook, believe me. They should see that city and they should see the Exuma Keys so that they would know what the value of the country is. If I stay in the inner city most of my life and on this island, I think the Bahamas isn't that much. But if I were given those two experiences, I would be very upset. You know, I was 35 when I made my first trip to Freeport. I'll wrap up with this. And I cried the whole way home because I said I grew up in a ghetto. I could not, honestly, I was on the mailboat. I snuck in on the mailboat because I wanted to take a ride. And, you know, my cab driver, he left Nassau in 1961, and he talked so bad about Nassau. And he say, the problem with Freeport, I can't tell you what he told me, but I just tried to help you understand, is that the deal was cut not with the citizens that live there. Because at the end of every year, if each and every shareholder citizen who had a piece of land, a property, was to get a big fat dividend check, the same way the port gets, and it should be 50-50 fair, you wouldn't have no argument in Freeport. You wouldn't have... See, right now you got the yellow saying one thing and the red saying the other thing. Let's be honest with what's going on in Freeport. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
You agree with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
I'm right here with you.
The yellow side is the bend or break and XYZ and the people aren't benefiting. And I agree with that. And the red side is capitalists and y'all stay out of my business. See, that's
how it's been. That is how it's been.
See, I'm here. Listen, I'm not from Freeport. I only made one trip in my life there.
That's how it's been.
And why can't we get the yellow and red? And is Hayward and is anyone else still alive? Bring them all to the table. And let's fix the Bahamas, but you got to start with Freeport because that's a city.
Yeah.
Bro, I went to Freeport. Y'all ain't digging up the road every 2 feet.
Things have shifted in Grand Bahama, though, Graham. I won't touch it. I appreciate your telephone call.
It's shifting. It's becoming deteriorated. Like when the old westerns with the tumbleweeds going through. But you know what? It could be fixed. I'm telling you, within 10 years, you could have Freeport looking like New York.
I think it could be done before 10 years. I know it can. I appreciate your call.
You have a good one. And I'm just sitting right here crying and laughing at myself and wondering why I can't move to Freeport. Because there's a couple things wrong, and you could fix them real quick in Freeport. If you were to turn that place around, people from NASA would move there if they had ownership. Stop bringing a big boat there and telling me I could rake the beach and the seaweed, man. Tell me I'm going to have ownership. How do we negotiate that? Anyway, Howard, good one, man. You take care.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Graham. I appreciate you. Guys, I want to have a clear conversation with you today. I want to stretch everything far and wide. The Prime Minister said some stuff that I thought was superb. I did. I thought it was strong. I identify that as the bend or break speech. I felt like it was leading up to this. The Prime Minister break this whole thing down. Go and listen to this thing. Office of the Prime Minister, Commonwealth of the Bahamas Facebook. You can be able to see. Click on the thing. You only got 20 minutes. Put it on Bluetooth in your car. Listen to this thing. Listen to the entire thing. And listen intently. I don't know why the audio guys, at the beginning it was very low, but it popped up. It got louder. All right? Now, he broke the thing down. He broke it down. He identified the relationship that was thriving and bustling with Edwards and George and Jack Haywood. He identified the times that there was significant productivity. He identified the time that it was extremely nostalgic at the onset, and being able to identify persons that he's seen and haven't seen for a very long time, persons who were there and opened their arms to him as a young lawyer, so forth and so on. He acknowledged the fact that this is not only a part of the history of him as an individual, but a part of the fabric of who we are as Bahamians, that we can no longer separate ourselves from Freeport as a separate entity. This is a part of the economic engines of the Bahamas, right? This is a significant contributor. When it's at its heyday, we need you back. This is what I heard in the speech. But he took on a very stern position. And without going into any depth and detail, he spoke to the entity that is the Grand Bahama Port Authority, right? And spoke to the productivity and the possibilities of progression and growth that still exist within the entity, the Grand Bahama Port Authority. But then he went further to specify that there is significant infighting that is causing issues from an external standpoint. I thought it was a strong speech. I thought it was a strong speech, right? And so the Prime Minister was transparent and indicated that he started to have this conversation from 2022. And from 2022, he said that we met with them. We indicated these particular things. We said, we're going to have to find a position. He said, right after that, sometime in October, we had an opportunity to be able to send them an invoice, detailed invoice, detailing all these particular positions, what is owed, blah, blah, blah. Broke the thing all the way down. And then I looked at it and I said, this is a very strong speech. And so I sat back and I started to be able to digest the information. And I said, this shouldn't happen in 2024. This is Howard. Don't fight me. This is me. I said, I've had significant conversations with leadership in the Grand Bahama Port Authority. I don't know what's happening from a negotiation standpoint, but I feel like when I sat with Rupert, both on air and off, that he has remained consistent. I feel like those persons that speak of Rupert and speak about his position, his posture, his desires, his vision for the Grand Bahama Port Authority and what it can be, it's been consistent with what I've seen in him. And so as I see this, I say to myself, well, if Rupert is open, if he is transparent, if he is really committed to this idea of not only preserving this dream that his forefathers had, but being able to identify his legacy and create a space for growth and development in this new age and dispensation, this shouldn't be a difficult conversation. This really shouldn't be a difficult conversation. Not in this age and time and this era where we can negotiate, get to an objective, and find productivity. Grand Bahama has been in the position for a very long time. It has been in a broken state for a very, very long time. When we continue to have these kind of conversations about the Port Authority, Hutchinson Whampoa, selling off the assets. The Prime Minister spoke to these things, selling off the assets, which is the easiest thing to do, and being able to make significant, you know, acquire all the funds from these things, but not necessarily ensure that the government is taken care of in his stead. I just got to ask questions. See, at the end of the day, there is no proponent here other than the people of Grand Bahama being able to find itself to a position of productivity again. There's no way that my cousin should call me at the height of the pandemic and said that they should be doing their best to stretch $50 for 2 weeks, that they have to live off of this. The idea of this level of poverty creeping into the spaces where we thrived and enjoyed our independence, access, and the opportunities based upon the relationships that we had with both the government and more specifically with the Port Authority. How has it gotten to this point now? When there is globally, you can identify growth and development in other subsectors. And knowing our geographical location, knowing that the infrastructure on the city, knowing that the hearts, minds, and ears, the hands that built the city of Freeport still exists, knowing that this talent and desire to be able to see the magic return to the city still exists, why aren't we putting it to work? It's the only question that I have. What is the obstruction between the kinetic and the potential? What's this potential for being able to be realized? I won't talk like this. Let me take this telephone call before I go to a break. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hey.
What's up, Anton?
What'd you say, Howard?
All is well. What'd you say?
Howard. Thank you, Howard. How you doing, man?
Mm-hmm. Everything good. What'd you say?
Interesting conversation. I have a feeling when you come back from your break, you're going to talk some other stuff that would need some further dialogue. But nonetheless, your last call, I don't remember his name, but he was talking absolute nonsense, Howard. What was his name again?
Graham, it's Graham.
Graham was talking absolute nonsense, Howard. First and foremost, you went down a list of stuff just now, some of the stuff that would be important in the conversation that I expected for you to tell him, no, you do not agree with him. You should not have agreed with him, Howard, because he made no sense. First and foremost, why would the government want to partner with an entity that has been owing the Bahamas government $17 million each year for the last 5 years, right? Which says that, and when you look at the numbers of what they are collecting, somewhere between $150 to $200 million a year, if we minus that $17 million from their profits or from their overall their gross collections, we're looking anywhere between $80 to $130 million, which reduces their intake drastically, right? Mm-hmm. Next factor, which puts them in a much more difficult financial position to operate, especially considering what they're taking home. The next factor, when you look at the fact that Prime Minister Davis outlined the various assets that the Grand Bahama Port Authority offloaded, right? That in itself tells you that this is a troubled company, right? They are offloading assets to the tune of tens of millions of dollars, perhaps for each asset, perhaps in collecting hundreds of millions of dollars combined over the value of all of these assets that they have offloaded, and they are still unable to do the things that are necessary to further advance the Freeport area, right, and expand out into the east and west of Grand Bahama in ways that they are responsible or accountable to based on the agreement. It says that they have a serious financial crunch, so it would make absolutely no sense for any government, especially a government that is already running a tight budget, to partner with them. Except you have a situation where you have a partner who has such a substantial cash flow that they could come in a strategic manner, having a greater percentage of the company ownership than Grand Bahama Port Authority, because they're going to be spending the bulk of the money to revitalize Grand Bahama or Freeport in the first place. And they have so much money that they could just afford to spend. Under those circumstances, it would make sense to partner with such a company in such a state as the Grand Bahama Port Authority. Outside of that, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever from a financial perspective, Howard. The government of the Bahamas is not in a position, as we all know, from a financial perspective, to partner with Grand Bahama and then to turn around and get the funds.
The Prime Minister said that. In the speech itself, the Prime Minister said, we ain't got it. In so many words, we don't have it.
So what he's saying makes absolutely no sense. I wanted to get in there, Howard, before you go to news, because it's that important to put a stop to that nonsensical thinking.
Well, we're going to expand on the conversation. We're going to expand on the conversation. We're going to dive deeper into it. And I appreciate your call, because I go into a break right now.
Okay.
And I can take
all
a thing.
Right,
all right. I appreciate you, Anton.
Okay.
Thanks so much. We're going to expand on the conversation, and we're going to get to the depth of it, right? I got a text right here, and we're going to take a commercial break. But I got a text right here. It says, Howard, you sound like you're singing for your supper, which is absolutely bananas to me. I thought we'd been over this already. I thought we did. Howard, it sounded like you're singing for your supper. It's peculiar, but I'm going to read it, right? So let's go. It said, the speech was a revisionist history of Grand Bahama and left no clear path and zero vision for the future of Grand Bahama. The impasse with the port has nothing to do with the government's commitments and promises. There were the ones that had the jungle to rush out. For the hotel didn't get sold, and two announcements later, the new airport has not been built, and the president's staff has long moved back to the United States of America. As a Grand Bahamian man, you should know that Grand Bahama Port Authority is not a regular company, and the Hawksbill Creek Agreement is not a regular agreement. I do know that. But I also know that we're dealing with human beings. The indifference and the irregularity of a contract, or the irregularity, the morphing concept and idea of an entity, should not neglect and negate from the fact that we still need to see true sense of growth, development, and empowerment for the people of Grand Bahama. Now, let's have this kind of a conversation. Forget the concepts and ideas that existed in the past. Forget the proverbial boogeyman that says, don't go there. Don't open that door. Don't look in there. Let's have a transparent conversation based upon what's coming forward from the Prime Minister and what is the expectation in this dispensation for where we need to move forward to. Quick commercial break. Be right back after this.
Wings are here. Popeyes now has wings in 5 flavors. Honey barbecue, ghost pepper, signature hot, sweet and spicy, and roasted garlic parmesan. Marinated for 12 hours. Hand battered and breaded in a bold Louisiana seasoning. And they're only $7.25 for 6 wings. Taste them.
Crunchy outside.
And juicy inside.
Try the new wings from Popeyes now.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Here's to the go-getters, the early risers, and the late-night dreamers. You, the visionaries, painting futures in your mind, in your studio, your office, your sacred space. Here's to the adventurers, explorers of every realm. To you, the innovators, turning the cogs of progress in a world where connection is a lifeline, a pathway to possibilities. Alive is the perfect connection for everyone, every lifestyle. Every day.
Visit BeAlive.com today.
World Hand Hygiene Day is celebrated each year on May 5th and focuses on the importance of hand hygiene in healthcare. Washing your hands properly is the most effective way to prevent the spread of germs that cause diseases. Healthcare workers, be sure to have hand hygiene supplies available at every point of care. And clean your hands before and after care. Wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 to 30 seconds. Hand hygiene is not just for healthcare workers, it's for everyone. Make having clean hands your habit. Save lives. Clean your hands. This message brought to you by the Infection Prevention and Control Unit of the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
It's a special day for mom and she deserves the best. Bring her into Baja and let's de-stress. We'll pamper her and make her feel safe. Get mom a nice spa day.
Come visit us at Baja Retreat Spa. Purchase a gift for mom and call us today at 323-6711.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. The lines are wide open. I want to have a good and decent conversation with you, pushing past the malarkey and even the specificity that exists within the confines of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement and that raging, pink elephant that exists in the room that, you know, is indifferent of having a conversation about perceived or actual segregation. That's it. Let's just be very clear. Let's talk. Is this day and age, we're still skirting around the issue of economic disparity, segregation, so forth and so on. It's still the us against them. And I believe that there is maturity that exists within the Grand Bahama Port Authority to push past this. Now, I don't know their financial position and wherewithal. I don't know their books. I don't know any of this. I know that there has been the proverbial passing of a baton. This is what the Prime Minister actually spoke to. Y'all got to listen to that. And, you know, the fella telling me I singing for my supper. Listen to the thing, man. We're Bahamians first and foremost. We want to be empowered first and foremost. We want equal opportunity, access, rights, and so forth and so on. That's the first thing. As a Grand Bahamian who has seen significant migration from Grand Bahaman persons moving out on a day-to-day basis, every time I get people that's called me Howard, right? Howard. I know. Okay, so you may not know me. But when I'm in Nassau and someone say, Motto, hold on, wait. These eight Marok people. These are eight Marok people. This got to be my family around here who I didn't know. I'm simply saying to you that there seems to be, I can't say a mass exodus, but there is no reciprocity, right? There's no reciprocal there's no returning of those persons who've gone off from Grand Bahama. I have family members who are leaving Grand Bahama now. So the only thing that's going to be existing in Grand Bahama, if there can't be an opportunity for young persons, is the older generation. And the city can't run off of those particular persons. When are we going to have an honest conversation and leave the technical conversations out? What needs to happen between the government of the Bahamas, the Grand Bahama Port Authority, the people of Grand Bahama, and our expectations? What needs to happen so we can move that potential prospect, energy, ideas into kinetic application and growth for the city? That's the whole question I have. I want to be very decent as I ask you this, because I feel like I forged significant relationships within the Grand Bahama Port Authority. I'm excited to kind of talk about the things that Rupert puts on the table because they're innovative. They seem genuine. They're focused on the next dispensation of things that's happening. They have to do with preservation. They have to be able to, his Blue Lab project, right? That identify the coral reefs for growth and development. If this is his mind, if this is where he's thinking, then this shouldn't be an issue. This kind of an idea that exists within the Port Authority, that shouldn't be an issue.
the supremacy of the or the authority of the Port Authority still exists within the city. But the talent's not running into your organization. How are we going to get that done? Let's talk like this. Let's talk like this. Everyone could say, well, no one, you don't understand the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, or this one doesn't understand the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. So, listen, the Prime Minister's already indicated to this. He's indicated, if you listen to the speech, there was the letter of the law, which was the agreement. And there was tradition that existed in the city that looked past the agreement and said, this is how we're going to negotiate. And so if the precedent has been set beyond the agreement, the Prime Minister has indicated, listen, let's be very clear. This agreement was signed and forged with a colonial government and a private American businessman. This bananas, you can tell me I singing for my supper, I break the thing down? Ah. The Prime Minister break the thing down for you. Said this agreement was signed with a colonial government and an American businessman. We've extended significantly and afforded even more opportunity for him to get more land, and we have not received anything. There has not been reciprocity for the government of the Bahamas. The Free National Movement relentlessly defends a position of the Grand Bahama Port Authority and indicates that the government's wrong in its approach. And like you said, you hate to identify that there is a red and there is a yellow in this conversation, but if we're going to be honest, the PLP has nothing to lose. They can be very transparent. They could be vulnerable, and they could say what it is. Because at the end of the day, they're still going to commit themselves to the Bahamian people. They're still going to commit themselves to the promises that they've made in one way or another. If they can keep making it, if they can apply themselves to it, they can do what they can trying to be able to manipulate and get themselves in the position of winning those seats in Grand Bahama. But if you really look at it, if you're going to really look at this, the Free National Movement will not be able to do it. The closest we've seen this is the pushback that former Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham had with Hans Barbach. The closest we've seen the FNM come to sort of a dispute within the Grand Bahama Port Authority. For the most part, there has been relentless speculation and allegations to talk about they're one and the same. These people are taken care of. This is the UBP government, so forth and so on. This is malarkey. It does nothing for the growth and development of the Bahamian people in Grand Bahama. It does nothing for us. Nothing. It doesn't open up the hotel. It doesn't fix the airport. It does nothing. This relentless conversation. Let's get to the table. Make an agreement. Apply ourselves to it across government, across political divides, and say that this is sound for the people of Grand Bahama and get Grand Bahama moving again. Lines are wide open, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Pleasure to have you on, how are you doing?
All is well. What's happening with you?
Here. We're going to get this massive fire up in Joe Farrington Road. Massive fire in Joe Farrington Road. Got the area shut right down. How did you know that? Through the Joe Farrington Road and people have those cars in the backyard with all those car parts, old car parts and stuff.
Is that on the industrial park?
No, I said Joe Farrington Road.
Okay.
You know what Joe Farrington Road is, right? You're a free board, right?
Bucky, I hear from you in a little while. You call here and you're still around. What's going on with you?
Boy, look here. All I tell people, avoid the area Joe Farrington Road. There's a massive fire going on up there.
I saw the... Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate you, Sparky. Good to hear from you. I saw the smokestacks and the billows actually kind of rolling into the air. I didn't know what it was. Right? I say, wow, I guess... If that's, I hope that's nobody's home. So I'm hoping that everybody's safe with that. But let's talk about this. We're talking about the Grand Bahama Port Authority. We're talking about resolution. We're talking about being able to resolve. I think a lot of persons take the conversation above the position that it should be. I don't think that this is a highbrow conversation. I think that this is a conversation that should involve vulnerability. I think this conversation should involve maturity and a very clear understanding that we are not our fathers. That's it. That's it. No big thing. Listen, I'm not Edward St. George. I'm not Jack Haywood. I do believe in their vision, their concepts and ideas, and I'd like to do things in another way. Now, if we can identify these particular things with a sense of transparency, look at these things, make a determination that from this particular juncture, if we have to be able to create if we have to do an addendum, if we have to look at these particular things and identify that a new dispensation of leadership who understands the time that we live in and understands what's needed for this island and understands what's happening from a global perspective, this is what our intentions are. And we'd like the government of the Bahamas to be able to work with us. We know that you're cash strapped. We know that there is an economic crunch from a global standpoint, and we want to be able to remain buoyant. We want to be able to remain atop of all our bills. We don't want to fall into the red. How can we work this out? This is no way to work it out. The only thing that's going to happen, in my humble opinion, is more persons are going to leave Grand Bahama. That's it. You didn't put all this work for infrastructural growth and development and the vision of a 100-year concept and idea from the etching of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. You didn't do all this work to see the city fall into ruins. We must fix Grand Bahama. Next telephone call. Caller, go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, yes. Hey, how you doing? I was Cialan Johnson.
What's up, Cialan? I knew you was going to call. What's up with you?
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me just start this. Yeah, can we have this conversation about Grand Bahama?
Yeah.
First of all, like let's go maybe from point to point, right? And a lot of people really don't understand the agreement, and the reason, you know, they don't understand it when they start saying Freeport, as if to the residents of Freeport, or the money belongs to the people in Freeport, give the money to the people in Freeport, and on and on and on. Just let me first say the deficit that the government is asking for is directly related to the lack of the development that has occurred in Grand Bahama for almost 30 years. I used to word 30 years going back to 1992. I won't take the time to go through the different world events that has been affected it. And I hear people celebrate and talk about Edward St. George, Sir Jack, and Albert Miller. But if you look in the pure sense and take your emotions and everything out of it, you'll see that from 92 to about Dr. Twinstone, they were basically caretakers of the city, managers, as opposed to the growth and the development. Mm-hmm. Because the even from 92 to 2000, when the hotel was finished, and there was some movement of injection from the shipyard, container port, etc., that happened, look at the other aspect of development in Freeport that slowly deteriorate to their non-existence, you know, from the clubs and the other hotels. A lot of people don't even seem to remember that there was over a dozen hotels in Grand Bahama and a number of clubs to match it. All of those was built in the 60s and 70s. In fact, two of the hotels that we see at Aulokai right now were built in the 60s. And so there's been really just been a maintenance of the infrastructure and things going forward, even though we're now having a conversation. And the only reason we're having this conversation is because the demand for payment for that lack of development that created the revenue that should go to government is now come front and center.
Mm-hmm.
But we seem to be focused on that money as opposed to the failure of both government and the Grand Bahama Port Authority to develop the city to where it should be, that you should not be running a deficit to government of $5 million a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you actually take things in all considerations on 2022 and the big government bills, you can only assume that $5 million a month has been running, and this June would make another $150 million, or $120 to $150 million, added to that $350 million demand, if all things are considered. The question that should be asking, not just for the residents of Freeport or even Grand Bahama as a whole, is where's the economic strategy that is going to resolve the issue of this deficit? You know, you can have conversations with government taking it over and Port Authority and all these different things. I think those are non-issues. Because even if the Grand Bahama Port Authority is found not to owe this money for whatever reason, it doesn't solve the issue of the lack of economic development. Freeport, in its lowest point, needed an injection of $2.8 million per day just to achieve a $1 billion injection, not even a multiple that will generate the revenue for government. The question then becomes is how do a city, if you treat it as a country, would be the second most digitally prepared place in the world, have for the entire time, the 23 years of the 21st century, and including from 1992, that's in the beginning of the second technology revolution began in the first true sense of the digital revolution. Remember when all of the .com, because that's when www came about.
Yes, worldwide.
And so what happens then is that Freeport has failed. Then, separate from the Grand Bahama Development Company, Grand Bahama Port Authority, is a company called the Grand Bahama Development Company. That is a separate issue that has to be looked at, separate and apart. We often combine them. And if you look at the fact of the property holdings of the Grand Bahama Development Company, which could very easily comparatively be estimated to be 200 square miles or so, including probably 75% of all the beaches from 8 Mile Rock to McLeanstown. Why is that just sitting there, untouched, unresolved, undeveloped?
I think it goes back to an economic strategy. I think it goes back to an idea for what do we do with the city. Now, the question that I have for you is, do you think there is a lack of vision that exists within both the Port Authority and the government in terms of the way forward for Grand Bahama?
Absolutely. I've seen books of ideas to report the economic, executive summary prepared by the minister that was never finished. I've seen the digital report that was prepared also by minister that was equivalent of a 7th grade newspaper for the cost of 10 with $20 million. And the AI graded the report at the 7th grade. And so the question is that we have these books of ideas, but that's not a vision. A vision should be able to be expressed by an accompanying strategy and plans of execution. And you talk about the monies that could come into Freeport. I hear people talk about this $100 million and everything. The $100 million is the equivalent of building 400 low-income homes. If you believe 400 low-income homes or affordable homes will turn Freeport economy around, then you are more delusional than the current leadership of the Grand Bahama Port Authority or our government.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that 1,270 rooms in the hotel will turn Freeport around or an airport will turn it around, again, we are delusional. We have put the bar so far down that we have no reality of what it requires to develop a city. You literally have the opportunity, if you was to look from the tourism product or the technology product that we talk about, these blue, green, ocean economy, climate economy, carbon economy, and all these other different things you like to talk to colors. But when you talk to the people and ask them to go beyond the statement and using buzzwords like innovation and state-of-the-art and the latest technology, no one can explain it. We talk about developing Freeport by buying technology. Just think about this, Howard. You go to Google to buy one of their routers, and then you say you're going to invite them to come use the router you buy from them to make Freeport a tech hub. That's not what they're looking for.
Mm-mm.
They're looking for structures to build innovation, nascent technologies, and whatever. And that's not why we are digital potential, but at least digitally utilized. And so what we have is five-year celebrities. I excuse them because they're exactly that five-year celebrities. But how do you explain the leadership, the exact same leadership that's been in the Port Authority for the last 16 of the last 23 years of the 21st century? When we talk about these $2 billion worth of things, many of those things that we talk about has been on the drawing board for 10 years. The celebration key, that was from when Christie first term.
Yeah.
The shipyard came about. Let's look at the shipyard. Imagine that you bought a car for $10,000. And eventually the car got damaged at the value of $6,000 at the time. The insurance gave you the money, and so you decide to spend $8,000 for a new car, and then you make an announcement that you have a new investment. What about the loss that you incurred of the car being out of commission and the fact that it's going to take the car now to be delivered from China? And so when you begin to look at each of the different things and ask yourself since this announcement, what is the new announcement in the first quarter of the year? or for the last quarter of last year. What is the strategy for building Freeport? Understand this, and I've asked for intelligent argument.
Well, like I told you, I had an opportunity to be able to go to the Grand Harbor Port Authority opening the office at One West here in Nassau. And they released some information to indicate that they have significant persons, and I'll use the language of the government, prospects, projects in the pipeline. And yeah. So they're prepared to do some stuff.
I'm saying to you is this, you know, hopefully by the end of the week, I have about 16 potential of hitting the Powerball and 22 potential.
So what you're saying, see, because I gotta let you go. What are you saying? Give me in very basic terminology and terms, what are five things that need to happen to be able to identify Grand Bahama as a city and see the holistic growth of the city, as opposed to being able to have this concentrated view that if we fix the airport or if we fix the hotel, everything will be able to bounce back? What do we need to look at holistically to be able to see Grand Bahama at least move towards revival?
First thing I would do is I would lay out a destination strategy for Grand Bahama to come back as a tourism destination.
Okay, strategy.
Let me give you a perspective of just so quickly that. Look at Celebration Key. You see an all-inclusive location, right?
Yeah.
All these other things they're promising. And that's how Grand Bahama has to be. But not only that, attached to that has to be an economic policy that shows young
Okay, so two, economic policy.
That they can have access to capital and things to building building it also.
I like this. Give me the next one.
The second thing I would understand.
The second thing was economic policy.
No, they go.
Oh, so this is this one A and B then.
Yeah, I don't have to even go to all five. I'll just even touch on three for you because I have many of them. The second thing is that Grand Bahama is designated as the second most digitally prepared place in the Caribbean. Is to get people around the table that understand what the infrastructural aspect of creating a smart community, city, island, and country is not buying consumerism aspect of technology and asking people to sit on top of that, to understand what it is. And just the mere fact, remember just how Google, they invited Google to bid to locate at different locations and these 20 different city bid and one city win, but those other 20 cities just still won just by the fact that they were able to prove they were capable of hosting Google.
I remember that, yeah. Yeah.
That's all. If we could actually make the same argument to them, to these mega giants,
then other prospects could look at us. Then we could be able to have possibly the.
Your Guardian newspaper is the one who, in December of 2021, or was it 20, stated about our rating and being number two in the world. I still maintain being number one because of geolocation and everything else. And so what I'm saying is this, Broward. We have people, not just me, but there are people as part of our diaspora that is capable of developing a health city, just like they have in Cayman, right here in Grand Bahama. Not legislation alone for the so-called selfies and that, to be able to support a health city coming here. And so you have you also have a logistic location where 90% of the things that go to the Caribbean and South America passes through the Bahamas, goes through the U.S., have attached tariffs and everything else, and then ship back to the Bahamas or other places back to those locations. If you understand the you know where we talk about WTO, there's another postal agreement that goes along with that allows you to do things in the Bahamas and ship for a preferred rate. And I'll just end and say this. I will go through all five because it takes time to say it. Do you know the competition, if you mail, say, a cell phone from America to Jamaica, $5. If you mail it from China to Jamaica because of the International Postal Agreement, it's, say, $2. That's where they have the advantage. But if you mail it from the Bahamas, it's 10 cents. Those type of things is what you utilize. But you have to understand, where do we fit into the 21st century
like
global economic pictures.
Thank you, man.
We've been talking about analog stuff, in a new digital reality.
I like you, man. Thank you, man. I appreciate you so much, C. Allen. I know that you were going to give me a call today and talk about these particular things. I just want to be able to be very transparent about these things. The more that we could contribute to a conversation to let both the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the government of the Bahamas know, and all the stakeholders know, that we collectively, both Grand Bahamians that have been distant from the island, Grand Bahamians on the island, for Bahamians at large, we want to be able to see Grand Bahama find itself again, to find its strength again. The way that we cheer on Abaco with the expectations and hopes that they can see significant revival for the city to be able to return to its glory or even beyond, I think that that same cheer is being led for Grand Bahama. And I just want to be able to find out your strategies, your concepts, your ideas of how do we fix this issue. We've already gotten to bend or break 2.0. We've already gotten there. We've already gotten to an impasse between the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the government of the Bahamas. We've already gotten to this soured relationship. And that does nothing for any of us. That does nothing for no one in the Bahamas. And so the question that we have is, how do we get beyond this? All right, the damage is done. How do we fix this and move forward? Let me take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and be right back after this.
Foundation. The foundation.
Contact DaVinci Printing Innovators today for all your printing needs. Customized receipt books, NCR forms, invitations, event tickets, program booklets, business and ID cards, flyers, posters, and banners. They're scanning, printing, lamination, and binding services. Also, a variety of office supplies. No design, no problem. Dedicated graphic designers are ready to serve you. DaVinci Printing Innovators, located in the Village Road Shopping Plaza. Stop in or call 677-2922 or browse services online at www.davinciprinting242.com, where printing is an art.
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
It's a special day for Mom, and she deserves the best. Bring her into Baja and let's de-stress. We'll pamper her and make her feel safe. Get Mom a nice spa day.
Come visit us at Baja Retreat Spa. Purchase a gift for Mom and call us today at 323-6711.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company. Let me take this quick telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
Hey, what's up, Anton? You're back. What's up?
Yes, I'm back to finish my thoughts quickly. Let me just put these two questions in the air, right? Before I say anything else. Why did previous Bahamian governments permit the Grand Bahama Port Authority to sell off so much of their main assets and simultaneously collect on the financial benefits of the Hawksbill Agreement while not fulfilling their mandate and or obligations to Freeport.
That's the same question that the Prime Minister had. That's the same question that the Prime Minister had.
So that is a very serious question on the books. Also, Howard, after realizing, and this would be for the previous minister's cabinet, right? After realizing what the Grand Bahama Port Authority was doing, selling off the assets, right? Why did the minister's cabinet allow for the Grand Bahama Port Authority to run up government costs without taxation? Why did they allow this to happen over the last 4 cycles of their administration without the taxation that is built into the agreement, right? And I'm getting on to the other aspect of what I wanted to say, Howard. You started to speak on it yourself in your conversation before I called in and before you started to take calls. And let me expand by saying this, Howard. Based upon some of the major initiatives that the Davis administration, the Davis-Cooper, as some refers to, administration is taking on. Howard, if you see, and this is not political, this is speaking on the reality of the existence, what is happening in our country as we speak. If you see Prime Minister Davis can successfully close, before I even say that, I'm picking up on a little part of the conversation with you and C. Allen. Do you think that a strategic thinker like Prime Minister Davis, Howard, would pursue the Grand Bahama Port Authority for their natural obligations under the contract, realizing that they are already operating as a bad corporate and a business partner to the Bahamas, without having a plan B to save the Freeport and Grand Bahama economy?
That's a strong question you have because the second part of this conversation that I'm getting text now, I'm going to read the text in 2 seconds. The second part of the conversation that I'm having now is that person saying, listen, forget all this fluff, forget revisiting the history and concept and idea that exists in here.
Right.
Give us a plan for the way forward. Give us a plan that you have.
Look here, Howard. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you actually reminded me. I forgot about that part too, to add to that question. Look, the vision has already been casted for Grand Bahama. The vision is built into the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. The only thing that is left to do, Howard, is execute. Put in the strategy to execute. That's it. That is all that is required. However, the Grand Bahama, clearly based on time and evidence that is already passed and that is in existence currently, does not have the capacity to fulfill it. Right, Howard? And going back to that next question that I asked you, that's a very dangerous question. Let me move forward, Howard, to my last point that I want to raise. And it ties in 2 parts. If you see the Davis administration, and this is not political, Howard, this is based on the existence of reality is current. If you see the Davis administration can pull off holding the Grand Bahama Port Authority accountable to its taxation obligations to the government of that $70 million, if you see the Davis administration can put in place the partner, that is the strategic partner necessary to carry Grand Bahama forward back to the Magic City days, if you see the Davis administration closes on all of the plans that it has for Grand Bahama with the 2 new ports, with the expansion of the container port, with the redevelopment of the airport and some other projects, Howard. If you see the Davis administration can conclude on the clean electricity, right, LNG, right, solar, etc., Howard. If you see the Davis administration can close on those things simultaneously while ensuring that, because you can't have the grass looking green and the cows starving, while ensuring that the Bahamian people are benefiting directly in our pockets, we are creating a new class and generation of multimillionaires, of 100,000-aires and 1,000-aires in our country, Owen. If you see these things can happen, do the original. Now, getting back to the last point, which is part 2, Owen, you had asked C. Allen to tell you some of the things that that can take Grand Bahama back to this economic empowerment, right, Alan?
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with the points that he was making, but based upon just going on Sea Island's talk that he always talking about Grand Bahama or Freeport being the most digitally prepared city this side of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can create a Silicon Valley kind of setting on Grand Bahama. We can create a college town on Grand Bahama. We can create medical tourism. If you listen to what Dr. Davil was talking about with the reintroduction of the, what's it called again? I can't remember. The cells. What's those cells called again, Howard? That help to regenerate life and all that kind of stuff. Stem cells.
Stem cells.
We can create medical tourism in Grand Bahama with the stem cell initiative.
Well, that was introduced already. You know that. That was introduced.
It was attempted to be introduced under the Ingram administration. However, they didn't do it legally. They didn't do it correctly. And so it had to be scrapped. They had no legislation to undergird and support the execution of the stem cell
was
industry.
It Ingram or was it Christie in 2012?
No, it was Ingram. It wasn't Christie. It was Christie who scrapped it because it couldn't go forward, right? In the present condition.
Okay.
We didn't have enough legislation to support it. That would be like bringing the Bitcoin company, having the financial services put in place, the regime to manage day to day and control how they operate. And thankfully that we had the wisdom and our prime minister and attorney general to do that. So we were able to save ourselves a lot. But anyway, moving on, Howard. We can create a financial center with our new partners in Africa, where the prime minister visited. And we just signed an agreement just the other day where they're going to bring a diamond district.
Anton, are you saying to me that if worse comes to worse, the Grand Bahama and the government of the Bahamas decide for one reason or another, however they do, to absorb the Grand Bahama Port Authority, that there are opportunities for them to be able to find productivity if they take it over? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying to you,
Howard, that's a horrible idea.
Very clearly. You can hear me, Howard?
I can hear you.
I'm saying to you very clearly that Prime Minister Davis is a very strategic thinker, right? I am as well, so I know it.
But that can't... Okay, hold on. The only way that his strategy could be able to be fruitful is if he was the prime minister, the president, and we voted for him, and he's always in for the next 15, 20 years. Another government that comes in will not be able to take amend and take care of this particular agreement that was forged with a former prime minister. They won't focus on it the way that they should. We've already seen that many times over.
You know what, Howard?
We've seen that with urban renewal.
That is why I said to you, Howard, that is specifically why I said to you, if the Prime Minister Davis, if the Davis administration, sometimes referred to as the administration, can execute on these things over the next 2.5 years, in addition to ensuring, most importantly, that the Bahamian people, who matters most in this whole situation, are benefiting directly, not indirectly, not trickle down, directly, where Bahamian, a new class, a new wealth class is created.
So that we go right back to what what Sea Island was talking about, or what goes right back to what Graham was talking about. If we, the $357 million, being able to acquire it from the Port Authority and buying shares in the Port Authority for the people of Grand Bahama, who now become part owner of the Port Authority, that is the only way you can get direct access.
No, Howard, that would not get it to work at the level that...
Well, Howard, you can get the money directly.
You will need a strategic partner. That's what I started to express before you went to your newspaper, Howard. We would need a strategic partner, Howard, that has a very strong cash flow, Howard. And we are connected to those people as we speak. The Prime Minister Davis and his administration has established and reestablished those links and those relationships.
Let me ask you this question before you go, because I got to let you go. But before I let you go, I want to ask you this question. Do you believe that the Prime Minister, who has the heart of Kyan Island that's bursting through his sleeves on a day-to-day basis, a Deputy Prime Minister who desires relentlessly to be able to see his people at Exuma flourish with every opportunity, including the spaceship, what people call space junk, so forth and so on, that can be the proverbial marvel. Do you believe that these two men who already have their tides in their hands and family violence would shift that focus, if big money is available and they're forging relationships, would shift that focus and focus on Grand Bahama? Do you think that that's going to really happen?
Listen, Howard.
I just want to be decent.
I so appreciate the question, and you are being totally decent today. You're a good Christian man, good Christian husband, and father and family man. And look here, Howard.
Go ahead.
You can hear me, Howard?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, listen. The Prime Minister stated very clearly in his mandate when he formed government that the family islands will get their full share this time around. The family islands will get their full share this time around, Howard. So it means Cat Island will get their share. Eleuther will get their share. Bimini will get their share. Grand Bahama, West Grand Bahama, East Grand Bahama, Freeport will get their share, Howard. The Prime Minister stated, if you listen to his speech, which you said you did, He actually broke a lot of his roots down there as a young man in Grand Bahama.
Yeah, he was very nostalgic at the beginning.
Special to him. And as you said, Howard, as you said at the beginning of your show, the Prime Minister and his administration has absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Yeah.
Nothing to lose and everything to gain.
I think all of us know that. To lose with being vulnerable and being honest and saying this.
But end with this one line out. With all of these things on the rise, inclusive of a fiscal budget 2024-2025 right around the corner. And if the Prime Minister and his administration makes the right decisions, and I was informed reliably that down there in Carmichael Road, since we've been having these conversations, Howard, the Prime Minister did on the record, the 2024-2025 budget is for the people. If all of these things come together, Howard, what you think is going to happen?
Well, just
what
don't think it's gonna be don't give me the one liner with Fred Mitchell is in with. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Hey,
I appreciate you.
PLP.
Bye. I gotta let you go. I gotta let you go. I'm not gonna fight you, my brother. I appreciate your telephone call. But I just want to be able to be very clear and honest about this. I'm glad that we could have these kind of vibrant conversations as truly engaging, and a lot of persons won't be able to participate in it because Grand Bahama's growth is the Bahamas' growth. And let's just be very clear. I think that we have to be able to push past the superficiality and concept and idea that a lot of persons hinge themselves to and tether themselves to. They say that, oh, they think they're better than us. For God's sake, let's let that go. Amen? Praise God. Jesus, let it go. Let's have a very clear conversation. If you want the people to get back home, if we want to be able to see population expansion and explosion, if you want to be able to see growth and development, if you want to be able to provide people and give them something to focus on, you got to fix Grand Bahama. You got to fix Abaco. You got to fix Long Island. You got to fix these things, and innovation and creativity must do it. Now, whilst we know that money is the answer of all things, whilst that we know that, there is absolutely no way. It's absolutely no way. Whilst the world is going through an economic hills and valleys, through one thing after another, and everyone seeks to be able to hold on to their monies, there is no way to identify an individual, a company, an entity on offshores to be able to say to them, give us a significant cash flow to change the lives of people on Grand Bahama, and we will give you a percentage of this. So we're going from one port authority to another. And so we have to have a deeper conversation. Do we go with the devil that we know or the devil that we don't? And that's it. So the only question that I have is that why can't we incorporate innovation and creativity? West Grand Bahama have acres and acres and acres and acres and acres of property. I only want 50 acres. That's it. Well, actually, give me 100 and watch me turn the thing around. Give me 100 acres. I got a team of 10 people right now. I don't need no money from you. All I need is 100 acres in West Grand Bahama. Meet on the north side so I could do kayaking, so I could get the people to do that. And we will go off and pitch this idea, not waiting for the government. If the government is seeking public-private partnership, you don't have to give no money. Just give me the land. The same way y'all did it for Sarkis. Do it for me. And watch us transform. We're relentlessly hoping and waiting for people to come in here with buku dollars, and they're going to lend us the answers. They will not. They will not. If we look at Ghana, if we look at Uganda, if we look at other spaces in Africa, and what they're doing in terms of opening it up for blacks and browns the world over to be able to return to Africa, giving you land, giving you access, giving you opportunity, giving you passport, giving you citizenship. All these things are happening because they know that they need their people to come back home. My God, what are we doing? This is the same concept and idea that you had from 1955. Money, money, money. No innovation, no creativity. Because it's it. Within the men and women that actually sat at the helm. But with the shifting of time and the men and women actually being able to transition and moving on to death, it left a significant void. Let's be clear and honest with this. Rupert was a part of this for a very long time growing up as a young boy. He left off and did a great deal of things, had an opportunity to be able to manage the soccer team, went off South America, did some things there, and then he returned home with a family. Come on, man. Whilst he remember his youth, he has some news. Are we going to give way to an opportunity for growth and development with these new ideas? Are we willing to negotiate beyond the existence of what exists now, beyond the letter of the law? On this contract that doesn't necessarily feed this generation, are we willing to go beyond that? I want to be able to end it with that. I want to be able to end it in this kind of a space where I must give kudos to the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister said some things where he's acknowledged the fact that he's gone off around the world and continue to be able to. I feel like he's be listening to me, you know. Not in a bad way. I'm sure I'm not the only person saying, maybe I don't know. Because Victor Jesus, he's talking to me. I felt that when I listen, I'm going off and be championing, and we're doing all these things with climate change, and we're doing all these. Oh, you don't think I can come home and fight home? I said, oh my God, listening to us. It sounds to me that he's coming for victory in 2026. And for him to take on such a strong position, and I'm watching his posture. He's a trillion. He's cut from a cloth that genuine business and understands that. He understands this as a lawyer. He's done everything, every protocol to have a conversation, to be able to. And then he provided an invoice. And then there was an indifference. Now there's an impasse. I look at the Prime Minister and I must commend him. There's no singing for your supper or nothing like that. This is only observation. Because the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. And if we identify this as the first step, there must be a no-nonsense approach to acquisition. There must be a no-nonsense approach to be able to assure that there is productivity for the people of Grand. That's it. I got to commend this government. And I'm hoping that any other government, whether that's within the confines of the PLP, whether that's within the confines of the Free National Movement, or any other government, that they can identify these elements of empowerment for the Bahamian people to move forward. That's it. I believe in the conviction for conservation, for preservation within the Port Authority and Rupert Hayward. I believe in that. I got to tell you that. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't say. I believe in it. But I do believe that oligarchs are guarding risks. And negotiations aren't in goodwill and favor the way that it should happen in this dispensation and in this time. It is my hope that we push past this. It is my hope that we find productivity for the people of Grand Bahama and by and large, the people of the Bahamas. I want to take two more telephone calls before we get out of here. Caller on the line with us live, go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I wouldn't mind you for 20 minutes, man. But I'm your customer service, man. I got to put you in customer service class, man.
I appreciate
you.
I
ain't got time to talk what I want. But let me just ask you something while I got these couple minutes. Was Grand Bahama ever booming?
I've only known Grand Bahama to boom when I was young. That's all I've known. Access opportunities. I've known independence. I've known travel. I've known exposure. I've only known Grand Bahama as a young boy from 8 Mile Rock.
Okay, so what was called the Magic City. Did the magic come from the port or did it come from the government?
I don't know. I think it was a question. Everybody's.
What did the government do to create the magic?
Created the infrastructure and access for those particular ideas.
What infrastructure? I don't live in Freeport.
The land.
Infrastructure.
The land. The government gave significant land. Go listen to the speech of the Prime Minister.
Yeah, land. Other than land, would land that the Port Authority always had or what?
No. Wallace Groves didn't have any land.
Extra land for what?
No. Listen, you got to listen to the speech. You got to be able to listen to those things. I really don't have time to get into it. Sorry about that. I don't have time to get into it. There was acres of land that was distributed to Wallace Groves at the inception for the development of a new city. And in forging this relationship, they created this Hawksbill Creek Agreement. The agreement was all-encompassing and all-inclusive to ensure that there was productivity and growth, not only for the land or the infrastructure, but also for the people, and affording access and opportunities for this kind of a fair and balanced approach to governance. They created a quasi-government, and their responsibility was to be able to pay taxes and so forth and so on to the government. Things have gone awry over the course of time. And a lot of persons said, as a result of the speech in 1969, that's when things started to go downhill. But the speech in 1969 spoke to segregation and how opportunities weren't equal. And so when you look at these particular things, despite all of these things, the government of the Bahamas decided to go into agreement and forge and expanded on the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. And after they expanded on that, they still weren't committed to doing the things that they were supposed to do. They did it in good faith, but there was still an expectation to be able to pick up slack in certain areas. And so the government, the Prime Minister is stating at this time that there is an expectation that the Port Authority pick up on the slack where the government was taken care of for a long time. That's what it is. You make me run on with some stuff. I'm not going to fight you. Let me take this quick telephone call. Caller, you got 12 seconds. Go ahead.
Yes, hey, just a couple of seconds. First of all, let me just say, the Grand Bahama Development Company and Grand Bahama Port Authority are two different companies, though they're interrelated. Grand Bahama Development Company is the one that owned the 230 square miles of Freeport of the total 500 square miles the island is. But just let me say, what Graham said was absolute garbage. Please stop even integrating that as possible. But when you talk about resources, you keep saying like to sell your property to get resources. The 21st century doesn't allow that. And I'll call back on your show maybe tomorrow and show you. In the same way you say, give you 50, I will show you where 1,000 acres in 5 years can make 5,000 millionaires with no money. 5,000 people.
Yeah, but see, when I start to talk about West Grand Bahama, I got to let you go see Seattle, and I appreciate you. When I start to talk about West Grand Bahama, that's outside the confines of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement in Freeport proper. So this is the empowerment that government has access to, and we got to start to talk like this. We got to start to talk about the resources that we have to empower the people right where they are who has the ideas to see the country move forward, to see the city move forward. We got to be able to talk about that because I'm telling you, we could find some people to make this thing happen. Guys, I want to thank you so very kindly for your calls today. Thank you for your contribution. And thank you for being able to have these kind of a great conversation. Thank you to all those persons who shout out. Ms. Dorset, thank you so much for being able to give me a call. You give me some encouragement this morning. He's a good, decent woman. God bless you. I appreciate all you guys. Thank you so very kindly. Going to see you tomorrow as we go down to Baja Retreat Spa. We're going to be on East Bay Street, right across the street from Scotiabank. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking. Listen. It's Small Business Thursday, but we're going to be focusing on Baja Retreat Spa and Mother's Day. Guys, please come on down there and we can be able to get some things done. I can see if I can get Mr. McKinsey to give us a couple slack things. Have a great day, guys. We're going to see you tomorrow, Godspeed, right here on The Foundation. Have a great day.
The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.